the hell happened? What's happened to this team?
Yeah, boy, I was there that night in Toronto, and
Think? What did you think that game meant from the Avalanche point of view? Did you envision that as being sort of the end of the slide, or that was a sign that things are being turned around? How did you take that game?
I mean, I never quite get that optimistic over one game either way. So, that game, if you recall, it was, kind of a late bunch of bang-bang goals that, got them the win. And then, Toronto was playing pretty well at times, I thought, in that game. And always seemed to be right there with them. But Carl Soderberg got a hat trick. I'm not sure we'll ever see that again, even though Carl does have 18 goals on the year, which is a very good year. The knock on the team all year long, everything we've worried about was that the team wouldn't have enough depth. We thought it could have some depth if, the second line could be solidified with Tyson Jost being the young first round pick centerman. You know, if he can do it, we all thought this team may be very good, but that line never did solidify. Then after that game, they, couldn't score as well again. That six-goal game, I think, was – they did get the 7 goals against the Kings, but otherwise they really had trouble scoring. And then what really went wrong was the goaltending went horrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just slipped Grubauer and Semyon Varlamov, couldn't stop a beach ball for a good couple weeks there. And while Varley's been better lately, goaltending was the biggest problem, and the scoring, the less secondary scoring, that all went bad too, but it's been bad most of the year. And but boy, when the goalie can't stop a puck, talk about — we had some boos in Denver too over the goaltending, a la Gardner in Toronto. So back at it tonight, but this is the team that's really reeling, 7 losses in a row right now. 3, a lot of overtime losses. Last 3 in overtime. 1-10 in overtime this year. So get the OT tonight, Toronto, and your odds are looking pretty good.
Yeah, well, and, I guess the thing, too, is with the Leafs power play, which has been struggling lately. It's interesting. It's kind of an interesting time to face this team because there's a sense the Leafs are 5-5, they're a pretty good team, but man, it's almost like take penalties against them and put them in the power play because they're just going to kill time. They're going to get some shots in your goalie, but it's going to end up killing time. Has this run it's more than a run at this point. It's more than a slump, I would say. But has this changed how the Avalanche are going to approach the trade deadline at all, do you think?
Well, Joe Sakic did meet with us. 2 or 3 people that actually cover the team on a regular basis the other few days ago. So that's literally all it is in Denver. Mm-hmm. He said he will not trade any of the top picks or prospects that he has. Nothing that happens on the ice is going to change that. I mean, they own Ottawa's first round pick from the Duchene trade. Also their third round pick, which people forget about. That could be number 62 or 3, whatever. They have their own first-round pick, which they're, 4 or 5 points out of last place in the West?
Right.
So that could be their own lottery pick. So they're not getting traded no matter what. Cale Makar, the fourth overall pick from last year, having a phenomenal year at UMass Amherst. He's likely to sign here when the season ends, so he's not getting traded. He's probably going to win the Hobey Baker Award in college. And, guys like Connor Timmins, who's a highly prized prospect, has been out with a concussion, but is starting to round into shape finally. He's not getting traded. The only thing I could see, and this qualifies as big, though, maybe, is, I think Tyson Barry could be moved. I would say the odds may be higher in the summer that he gets moved in the deadline, but, it could happen. And, they need a forward. They need a top 6 forward. So Barry gives you the best avenue to get that guy. Mm-hmm. He's he's kind of running, had his run here in Denver, I think, not playing particularly well right now. Cam McCarr is on the way, right shot, speedy defenseman. He's going to take his place, I think. So out he goes, get a forward. Could be Nikita Zadorov, too, as the other guy. Could get moved, big 6'6 defenseman. He's, from what I hear, he is available, but, it has to be a good deal. They need that forward back. So, the other guy is Semyon Varlamov. I mean, he's going to be UFA. Will a team want him as a nice backup insurance? That could be a nice guy to have, right? Mm-hmm. Playing better again. Not before that, he wasn't, but he played very well in Boston 2 days ago. So those are the three guys. Colin Wilson could be a guy, guy, UFA. He's hurt, though, going into a nice game. I don't think he's going to play against the Leafs. So if you want Barry, if you want Doro, maybe, you want to talk about some other roster player, maybe. Not McKinnon, not Rantanen, not Landeskog. Give him a call. But not non-negotiable about the prospects and picks.
Hey, Adrian, is there a sense, though, that even with this slide and everything, that this is a team that is going to have, you just rattled off those names, and if you take a look at the draft this year, if they do it right, in the next 2 to 3 years, there is going to be like an assembly line of really good young talent pushing teams or pushing players into this team. Have they, to your mind, have they created the right environment there? Do they have, is everything set up so that when these young guys come in, the team will be able to have some success and they will be able to flourish? Because as well as anybody, Adrian, in a salary cap league, that's part of balancing your whole window of opportunity, right? You don't want to be the Oilers. You want to be able to kind of have everything lined up so that you can strike when your time is ready.
Yeah, I mean, the salary cap is set up pretty well. One of the biggest reasons is Nathan McKinnon signed for 4 more years at $6.3 million. And you can't renegotiate, of course. So, I mean, their best player is 4 more years at a reasonable cap hit. I'm not sure how thrilled he is that he's just signing that deal now. Here comes Austin Matthews tonight making almost twice as much money as he makes. And Nathan's got 30 goals. Rantanen's the guy that got a sign, though. He'll be an RFA, and I expect a short bridge deal with him. I don't think he's going to sign a long-term deal. Mike Liut, his agent, is a guy who likes short-term bridge deals.
Did that go out the windows even like before the Austin Matthews thing? Like, how much impact did Austin Matthews' contract have on that process, or is that going to be the case regardless?
Everything matters in the sense that, you always go to your comparables, but from what I hear, it's going to be a 2 year, mm-hmm. $16 million deal. And that's probably what Rantanen's worth right now, maybe even more. He has slumped lately. I mean, he was leading the league in scoring for a while. Now he's down there a little bit now. So, he's hurting his leverage a little bit here with his play. Everybody's accountable here, right, in the whole hockey language. So he's got to take his share of the blame, too, for this slide. He's not scoring much lately, and he's not really doing a lot out there. So, he's going to get paid this summer. Otherwise, they're going to lose Varlamov's 5.9 off the books when he goes. They don't have a ton of other really massively paid guys. I mean, most of those guys have some term too. So Eric Johnson has 4 more years, $6 million, et cetera, for instance. So not a lot to really spend. And I think they will have some, they'll only have to pay the entry level to these new guys, these new rookies, Cale McCarr's in the world coming in. And I do think they'll have pretty good cash to go out and spend on a free agent or two to add. They're not only decent top line, but decent core that they have of young players. Add in those kids that are, lottery picks. They definitely hope Ottawa's pick is a lottery pick. They don't hope their own pick is a lottery pick. But if they're gonna miss the playoffs, I guess they're gonna want those ping pong balls to come up right. So, yeah, there's a lot of promise on the way here. The only worry that I have is, like, who's going to be the goalie now? I mean, Philip Grubauer has been just brutal this year. So if he's not the guy and Varley goes as UFA, and, you know, you've got a minor league system that does have a pretty good prospect, Pavel Francouz, but, you know, you always worry about first-year goalies. So what's the goaltending going to be with all these guys? They're gonna have to win 9-8, I guess.
I got a name for you. The group. Could you see them going after Bobrovsky?
Yeah, that's been mentioned. And you know what? This team has a really deep connection with the Columbus Blue Jackets with their head coach, assistant GM, and about four or five traded players they've got here from Columbus. So who knows? Could happen. The Bob, if he wants to change, come out and get that Rocky Mountain air. Maybe that will work out. Maybe, you know, could be. That is a name that we Avalanche people have looked at for sure. And so that is a chance that could happen. And they, if they lose Varley and Grubauer, you know, they're going to say, well, we're still believing Gruby. He's got two more years and he's our guy. But boy, you know, if it goes south and the way he actually played this year, yeah, maybe they're going to say, all right, let's go after Bob here. Gruby, sorry, but you're the backup still.
Hey, Adrian, you know, when Jake Muzzin joined the Leafs, he was talking to the reporters about kind of the shift we're seeing right now in the NHL between the Western Conference and the East. I mean, you know, some of the traditional Western Conference powers, L.A., Anaheim, I don't know what you'd call what Anaheim's doing, but, I mean, clearly there's some sort of transition going on. The heavier game that's played in the West, not so much the case in the East. You've seen the Western teams. You've seen a bit of the Eastern teams as well. As someone who spends a lot of time watching a Western team, watching the Avs play there, have you noticed that change? Like, is there really that much transition going on between the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference? And if so, when did that start?
Yeah, that's good. I never noticed that big a difference between the conferences anymore. I mean, I think maybe it used to be a few years ago where the West was not only bigger but faster and better and everything's just about. Yeah, it seems like the East is faster now. There are some older teams that in the West that are slower. I mean, Minnesota, Chicago's slower. LA is certainly slow. The worst teams I think are in the West. I think Ottawa is a better team than LA right now. But they still have the worst record. But the Eastern teams tend to be, you know, this might get down really into nerd territory, but you know, the travel factor for Eastern teams, I think they always feel like they always look a little better rested than me.
Mm-hmm.
A little more spry. They always get their rest. You know, they're not on airplanes all the time coming back at 5 a.m. like the Western teams do. And I think it matters a little bit, you know. You get to play down at sea level, most of them, so their lungs are so full of fresh air.
Right.
Ironically, though, when the Avalanche, when they say they go on the road back east, they say it gives them a big advantage at first because their lungs are so full of that thin air,
mm-hmm.
sea level really makes them so like they feel like they can fly by the Eastern teams those first couple games. You know, they do think that that's a big advantage for them because they're so much better kind of in condition because of the thin air that it takes to play at that level. But I think it catches up to them after a while. But the fact is, it just seems like these teams are a little younger and quicker now, and who knows what the reason all of are, but I think, rest is something that is a factor. Seems like the East finally got, younger. All the teams in the East used to be those big spending, Ranger teams, even the Leafs that spent a lot of money on older guys, big free agent tickets, But you don't sign old guys anymore in this league. Those old Eastern teams would be big, highly paid teams, but they'd be kind of old, slow, like the Rangers of the late 90s, 2000s. You know, guys like Bobby Holik out there skating around for $9 million a year. I mean, While the West has always kind of seemed like it was building through the draft and stuff, and younger guys, you know, so good. I think it's nice, though. I think it's nice to see the East really back on top in a way. And, you know, the biggest markets are in the East. So I think that's been good for the league overall. Stuff like, you know, good for the league that the Leafs are back as a power.